welcome to History First. This is a podcast about presidential history and trivia based on the site history-first.com. Tomorrow, April 14th, is the 156th anniversary of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. The basic facts of the Lincoln assassination are well known. The president was shot by John Wilkes Booth while attending a play at Ford's Theater, and he died on the early morning of April 15th. But what we're going to discuss today are the people on the immediate sidelines of the Lincoln assassination. The plot to kill Lincoln was much larger than one man, and its aftershocks destroyed more than one life. Today, we're going to discuss the plot to kill William Seward, why Ulysses S. Grant didn't go to Ford's Theater that night, and the tragic fate of the young couple in the theater box with the Lincolns, Henry Rathbone and Clara Harris. We'll get into it after the ad break. Okay, so let's start with William Seward, the Secretary of State. On the day of the Lincoln assassination, Seward was in bed. He'd been in bed for days after a terrible carriage accident that almost took his life. Seward and Lincoln were close. They'd once been political rivals vying against each other for the presidency, but Lincoln had come to see Seward as a valuable advisor. After Seward's accident, the president even came to his home, lay down beside him, and talked about his recent journey to Richmond, Virginia, until Seward fell asleep. As John Wilkes Booth and his cabal of would-be assassins decided on how best to proceed, they targeted Lincoln, Seward, and the vice president, Andrew Johnson. Their plot was not just to kill the president, but to take down the entire Union government. On the night of April 14th, as Booth headed towards Ford's Theater, his friend Lewis Powell went to the Seward residence. Powell, whom some of you may have seen circulated in a photo online, he's probably the best looking of the Lincoln assassins, claimed that he had medicine for Seward. Seward's son, Fred, was suspicious and refused to let him in. Powell then drew a pistol. It misfired, so he used it to clobber Fred and force his way inside. He ran upstairs and into Seward's chamber, where he slashed Seward's guard in the face. Seward's daughter ran into the room upon hearing the commotion and begged Powell not to kill her father. According to Doris Kearns Goodwin, who wrote the excellent Team of Rivals about the Lincoln cabinet, the word kill is what revived Seward, just as Powell stabbed him in the neck and the face. Seward's other son, Gus, ran into the room, and he and Seward's injured guard managed to pull Powell away. Powell promptly fled, although he stabbed a young State Department messenger on his way out. Remarkably, Seward was probably saved by his carriage accident. As Goodwin notes, Powell's knife was deflected by the metal contraption holding Seward's broken jaw in place. Seward survived, but soon after Powell's attack, the president was dead. According to Goodwin, no one wanted to tell Seward that Lincoln had died, because he was in such a fragile condition. But the Secretary of State noticed the flag at half-mast out his window and said, "The president is dead. If he had been alive, he would have been the first to call on me. But he has not been here, nor has he sent to know how I am." And there is the flag at half-mast. Next, we're going to talk about why Ulysses S. Grant didn't join Abraham Lincoln at the theater that night. Grant was supposed to. It was even advertised around town that the famous Union general would be at Ford's Theater, and Booth hoped to kill both Lincoln and Grant. But at the last minute, Grant declined Lincoln's invitation to the theater, and it had to do with their wives. Julia Grant and Mary Lincoln immediately got off on the wrong foot when they met. Mary Lincoln, known for her jealous rages, was paranoid that Grant wanted to take her husband's job as president, and she didn't like that Grant had allowed her son, Robert, to join him as an aide-de-camp against her wishes. In one encounter, Julia Grant was with Mary Lincoln and the wife of a general, who Mary jealously accused of flirting with her husband. When Julia tried to intervene, Mary Lincoln snapped, "I suppose you think you'll get to the White House yourself, don't you?" As an aside, of course, Julia Grant would make it to the White House. Her husband became president in 1869. In any case, Julia did not like Mary Lincoln, so when the Lincolns invited the Grants to a night at the theater, Julia objected strenuously. So Ulysses Grant told Lincoln that he had, quote, "a command from Mrs. Grant." Lincoln, always understanding, said, "Of course, Mrs. Grant's instincts should be considered before my request. In the end, the Grants didn't go to the theater. Instead, the Lincolns offered a last-minute invitation to a young couple, Major Henry Rathbone and Clara Harris. Finally, we'll discuss the tragic fate of the couple with the Lincolns in their theater box that fateful night of April 14th, Henry Rathbone and his fiancée, Clara Harris. Clara and Mary Lincoln were friends, and they had gone to the theater together before. That night, with the war over, Clara later recalled that the Lincolns were in the gayest of spirits. At one point, Lincoln took Mary's hand, and Mary chided him, saying, "What will Miss Harris think of my hanging on to you so?" Lincoln, speaking his last words before he was killed, is reported to have replied, "She won't think anything of it." When Booth shot Lincoln, Rathbone leapt up and tried to disarm him. Booth stabbed Rathbone and escaped, as Clara, now covered with her fiancé's blood, cried, "The president is shot." Rathbone was never the same. Traumatized and filled with guilt that he hadn't been able to save the president, he later suffered intense pain in his head, heart palpitations, and difficulty breathing. On Christmas Eve, 1883, while living in Germany with Clara, Rathbone killed her. He attacked her with a pistol and a dagger, and then slashed himself with a knife, in an eerie reproduction of what had happened at Ford's Theater. He survived, and later insisted he'd been trying to stop an attack from someone else. Rathbone was declared insane. He was sent to live in an insane asylum in Germany, where he remained until he died in 1911. He refused to speak about the Lincoln assassination or the murder of his wife to the end of his days. Outside of these characters, plenty of other people were impacted by the Lincoln assassination. There's Mary Surratt, who ran a DC boarding house frequented by John Wilkes Booth and Lewis Powell. Although she maintained her innocence of the plot to kill the president, and Powell argued that she had nothing to do with it, Surratt was hanged on July 7, 1865, the first woman ever executed by the U.S. government. And there's the story of another would-be assassin, George Azardot, who was supposed to kill the vice president, Andrew Johnson. Instead, he got drunk, and Andrew Johnson became president. The assassination of Abraham Lincoln produced aftershocks for the nation and for history, and also for the people closest to the president on that fateful day in April. Well, that's our show. Thanks so much for listening, and check us out online at history-first.com. Stay safe, and talk to you soon.